Many people often wish that they could have a paranormal experience. But most of the time, they're just thinking of seeing the ghost of a dead loved one, or maybe an old-timey spirit standing near the candelabra. What they don't realize is that some paranormal events can be mind-shattering. And then we meet a family who's preparing to go on a day trip down to the shore. Little do they realize they're about to pack their bags and leave their house for the last time. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys are having tons of fun doing whatever you're doing. We got a lot of stuff to cover today, so we're going to get started right away. First off, running on into Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Ask Auntie. Woohoo, yeah, wee, ha ha, yay, woohoo, yeah. She's coming on in, bringing us a basket of homemade cookies. Ask Auntie or Auntie? I think Auntie, you know, like an aunt, uncle and aunt. Ask Auntie, she is a YouTube membership subscriber. I don't know what the actual term is. She purchased the YouTube membership, so that's a reoccurring monthly donation through YouTube. Really, really appreciate it. Ask Auntie. You're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. If you guys can't support the show financially through YouTube memberships or Patreon or the merch store, that's totally fine. It really, really is. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Let's get this party started. Ask Auntie. Let's go ahead and start off. I'm going to toss you the keys to the Jason Jalopy. We're going to leave behind Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Drive us all the way out to a little girl's house. Driving up to this little girl's house. Thunderstorms rolling in. We see it off in the distance. Get inside, we hear a mom say, and we see this little girl. She's about 4 or 5 years old when this story takes place. We don't have a real name, we'll call her Alice. Mommy, I'm coming, now let me pick up my tea set. Come on, forget your tea set. Little Alice, come on in, you're gonna catch your death out here. Little Alice runs inside the house. This made it sound like it was the end of the world type of storm. Something from The Wizard of Oz. None of that has anything to do with the story, by the way. Just in my notes it said, there's a thunderstorm. All of a sudden the police are like, we can't hold it back. Evacuate the city. And FEMA's like coming in. They're like, the barricades are failing, sir. This thunderstorm, we've never seen anything like it. People are getting washed away by flash floods. Ah! The entire city's in chaos. All that from one line in my notes. Alice posted this online. She said, back when I was around 4 or 5 years old, I was sleeping during a thunderstorm. That was it. It has nothing to do with anything. That's just when she was sleeping. She was sleeping during a thunderstorm and she wakes up. She hears helicopters flying away with the last surviving residents of the city she's been left behind. She wakes up, there's a thunderstorm going on. She hops out of bed and she walks out into the hallway of her house. When she's standing in her hall, she's the only one awake, right? This is the middle of the night. When she walks out into her hallway, she turns and she looks and she sees someone standing in the hallway wrapped in a blanket. And this person is just spinning around in a circle. And Alice is watching this person wrapped up in this blanket twirling around. She doesn't say how fast. So, I mean, listen, it would be creepy if it was slow. If it was like, go, spinning around, it's a little less creepy. But you know, pick your poison. I'm not saying it would be moving in slow motion or anything like that. I imagine, though, if it was, like, super violent, like, whoa, whoa, that's a little less creepy. Like, I mean, again, I think any of it would be creepy if I was 5 years old. Like, ah. And Alice is a little weirded out. She sees this person wrapped in a blanket standing in the hallway. She assumes it's her mother. And she asks, Mom? And the person in the blanket is still just spinning in circles. And Alice said that's when she realized that something weird was going on. Because when she said Mom, not only did it not confirm that it was the mother, but it didn't have any reaction to her at all. It just kept spinning there. Which is a fair assumption. Like if it was a burglar, he only wanted to steal one blanket. May have run away when they realized someone else was in the hallway. If it was Mom, obviously would have said, oh, hey, Alice. Don't mind me. This is why I do this every night when you're asleep. Someone was wrapped in a blanket, spinning around in her hallway in the middle of the night. The reason, I got more stuff, right? I'm not like, I'll see you later, guys. The show's really scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's all we're covering today. No, I really like this haunting, and I have it paired with something else, because this is a subset of paranormal activity we've covered on this show. The absolutely abstract nature of the paranormal. I did say it was mind-breaking, and you're like, Jason, that's not mind-breaking. It's just someone wrapped up in a towel or a blanket. I'm like, oh, but was it a duvet? How does your mind feel now? We are accustomed, as paranormal researchers, as lovers of the lore, that there are rules that ghosts follow, and there's comfort in rules. So when you see something like this, it doesn't make sense. It's not the, you know, spirit of a dead Native American who was shot by a pioneer 100 years ago. It's not the ghost of a little girl peeking from around the corner who 30 years before this family moved in was strangled by her father. What we don't know what it is. It's almost like, and this is something that we've touched on this show as well. I think there are things that we see. We know this is true in real life with real life trauma, where people will undergo extreme moments of trauma and then their memories won't make sense. They might not remember any of it, or things, they'll remember things that just are impossible. Because your brain breaks. Your brain's not developed to undergo severe trauma and then just move on with their life. And then just move on with your life. I mean, it's possible. That's the healthy way to do it. But it can cause some cognitive issues around that. It's possible that her brain saw something and the only way it could understand what it was looking at was someone wrapped in a blanket spinning around. It could have been a monstrosity beyond all comprehension. Especially for a child. And that's the only way her brain could process it was a humanoid wrapped in a blanket spinning around in a circle. What she saw was far more terrifying, mind-breaking, in a sense. That's possible. It's also possible that it was a spirit that, for whatever reason, showed up in such a bizarre fashion. Because even if you saw someone doing this, if you didn't tell anyone, if you live with other people at home and you didn't tell anyone in the middle of the night, you wrapped a blanket around you and just silently spun in circles until one of them woke up. No one wakes up. You're all vomiting in the corner. Blah. It's creepy. It's a creepy visual. So for a spirit to be trapped in this type of activity for God knows how long, like maybe when no one is waking up, every so often this happens. Maybe there are nights where the family is sound asleep, and if one of them looked out into the hallway, they would see someone wrapped in a blanket spinning around in their hallway. This is the one time somebody noticed it. There's also the idea we've touched upon on this show. I don't know if I can find the episode, but there is the theory that ghosts are very powerful around water for whatever reason we don't know. And that has actually been expanded to before and during thunderstorms and possibly shortly afterwards. Spiritual activity will increase because they're drawing off of all of that water. That's something that does pop up in the lore. I don't know if anyone's ever made a concrete reason as to why. That seems to almost... The likelihood of coming back as a ghost after you've drowned seems to be higher than if you had died in your sleep. For whatever reason, we don't know. I did that story recently. I'll put that episode in the show notes about the well. Do you remember that one? That one's really creepy. I'll put that show notes. I don't want to ruin it, but... It's possible that this entity appeared because of the thunderstorm. It's possible that this is just the first time they've seen it, and when the doors are closed and it's late at night, there is someone wrapped in a blanket spinning around in their hallway. That's terrifying. What you can't see, what you can't even imagine is out there, is happening right behind your closed bedroom door. It could be a spirit that's trapped like this. It could be, that's just, again, horrifying. I think it would be hard enough to be a ghost trapped in a haunted house, but imagine if you're trapped like this. Or it could have been something that's so dark, so oppressive, so utterly insanity and inducing. That's the only way that Alice could perceive this entity. And I like these abstract type of hauntings because they don't fit neatly in a box. Makes us really step back and ask the question, what is going on? It might not even be a ghost, really, but it's definitely an entity of some sort. This was posted online by someone going by the name of Bipolar Bug. Wanted to give that shout out there for Alice. But we're not done. We're not done with this type of haunting. Ask Auntie, let's go ahead and toss you the keys of the Hare hovercraft. We got somewhere else to visit. Take us all the way out to Japan. Specifically, we're going to Okinawa, Japan. Early 2023, much more recent story. We actually don't know when that story took place. Alice is posting it as an adult. She said it happened, she's 4 or 5, so, you know, probably 80s, 90s when it took place. Now we're in Okinawa, Japan, early 2023. We're about to meet this man. We're going to call him Jim. He's an American citizen who's living in Okinawa with his wife. We'll call her Michelle. And Jim said one morning he woke up and his wife was kind of laying there next to him in bed. And she goes, hey, Jim, what was going on last night? What were you doing? Or what were you? I know what you were doing. You were sleeping. But what were you dreaming about? And Jim's like, what? Michelle goes, yeah, it was super weird. You woke me up last night and you're making all this noise in bed. You were groaning. You were deeply groaning. Get ready, guys, because I'm going to imitate all these sound effects. It's like a whale. It sounds like a beached whale. She goes, you were groaning, and every so often you would laugh in this really off-putting way. Yo. There's a new ringtone, guys. You were groaning, you were laughing in this really bizarre, creepy, off-putting kind of way, and you kept curling into, like, this fetal position. Like, I've never seen you do this stuff before. I probably wouldn't have married you. Probably a good reason to live with someone before you marry them, just in case they don't groan and laugh and curl up like a shrimp on the bed. He doesn't really have... Like, it's when most people don't realize they snore, he doesn't really have an explanation for it. He's like, I don't know, that is kind of weird, right? Super weird. But I don't know why I was doing it. If you're looking for a reason as to why I was doing it, I don't know. Now it's time for my mid-morning nap. Starts groaning again. Because this actually happened for a bit. My wife would say, hey, we wakes up, she has bags under her eyes. She's like, oh, I can't sleep. She goes, you were doing it again. Middle of the night, you started groaning and laughing. And what is going on? What is going on? Well, one night he has a dream. he has this dream that he's standing near this wall. And on the wall, there are three paintings. They're all portraits of a man. The same man. Three separate paintings, but they all depict the same man. And he said, I'm looking at these three paintings. They all looked like the same dude. Pale face. Very sharp facial features. So I'm assuming like high cheekbones, sharp nose, things like that. Sharp facial features. He had this short and kind of messy bluish black hair that he described as a comic style. Like a comic style. I don't know if that's the haircut or the way that it's inked. He goes, I have this bluish black hair. Three portraits, all of the same man. And I'm standing there and I'm looking at them. They're on this wall. And all of a sudden, I start peeing on them. Whips it out, lets the main vein drain. He's peeing all over these pictures, these three portraits of this man. And he goes, as I'm peeing on them, I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't know why I'm purposely pissing on all of these paintings. But I'm doing it. He's not going to stop it at this point. He's peeing on them. And he said, as I'm peeing on them, the faces began to move. Like they were getting angry and disgusted because someone's peeing on them. They're all, But they're trapped in the painting. These faces can't leave the portrait. So as he's peeing on them, the faces are beginning to react as any rational adult would, as any rational living thing on planet Earth would, if all of a sudden he started peeing on them. And he said they started to distort as well. They were disgusted and they were distorting and he felt that the longer he peed on them, the crazier the images got. So it's now not just the look of disgust, but something's going on in these paintings. They're starting to distort. They're starting to become scary. Something crazy is happening in these portraits, but he won't stop pissing. All of a sudden, wake up! Wake up! Michelle in the real world is waking Jim, waking him from his slumber. And when she's waking him up, as Jim is becoming conscious again, as he's waking up, he hears himself groan. Like mid-groan, like she woke him up where he heard himself groaning. And he's laying there in bed and he goes, honey, what is it? And she's like, Jim, you know that groaning thing you were doing, you've been doing it for a bit. He's like, yeah, I heard myself groan. You woke me up mid-groan this time. She goes, I was laying here in bed and he started groaning again. I'm like, great. And I rolled over and I see you curled up like a little shrimp, little baby shrimp again, groaning and kind of doing that creepy laugh. And then standing on your side of the bed, standing right next to you, there was this dude. He was standing right next to you and I woke you up. I wasn't dealing with that alone. Have a hard enough time dealing with you groaning. But I don't know about none of this apparition stuff. Like, what was this? And Jim must be thinking, oh, is there an intruder in here? Like, is that what you think happened, honey? Do you think that there's like a maniac in here watching me sleep? And Michelle says, no, not really. I've seen that man in this house before. Never told you about it. And Jim, and this happens. This happens a lot. We've covered this so often on this show, where people will keep paranormal activity to themselves, even in the same household. She goes, I've seen this guy before in the house. I don't think he actually like broke in. I think that we might be dealing with something here. And Jim goes, well, what did the guy look like? She said he was this tall guy. Pale skin. And he has short black hair. Seen him before and never told you about it. Never saw him standing by you while you were sleeping, though. After about a week, Jim stopped groaning in his sleep. So this entire chunk of activity only lasted 5 to 7 days. No other complications after that. We don't know, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud, we don't know how often she had seen this guy, and had it been happening a couple days before this week? Did she see him a couple months before this week? We don't know. That piece of information was not available. But here we have a story that, if it is accepted as a true story, it's impossible, scientifically impossible. You could wrap yourself in a blanket and spin around in a hallway. You could easily do that. It only requires two tools, you and a blanket and a hallway. A person cannot have a dream and then somebody else see that same figure in the waking world if they don't describe them to each other. That just doesn't make sense. That's impossible. From what we know of dreams, from what we know, going on to the next story, but from what we know of how the world works, if these people are telling the truth, then this is 100% a paranormal story. Some people go, well, they're making it up. Or Jim, he posted this online underneath the name Four Door Two Seater. I mean, listen, I try to vet these stories as best as I can. I'll go through their posting history, and I have to discard a lot of stuff because I do this extra step. I'll find this really crazy story, and then I'll start going through their posting history, and I can kind of suss out if this is the only story Jim has ever posted that is even slightly paranormal. Every other post, he's talking about like Trans Ams or local football clubs or whatever. That kind of leans towards the idea that this may have happened. I often find stories that are crazy, and then I look through their posting history, and they go through a crazy event every single week. And I discard a lot of stuff that way, because I feel like this process works. Now, you could go, no, Jason, it's all made up, and that's fine, right? My goal isn't to prove to people that the world of paranormal is real. But to those of you who do accept that as a possibility, these are the type of stories where you have two witnesses, one in the dream world, one in the real world. If their descriptions match, that shouldn't even be possible. And again, this goes back to the idea of an abstract haunting. What in the world is even going on here? If we had Jim dreaming that he was being chased down a hallway by this man, and Michelle is seeing this man in the house, that actually is far more normal for a paranormal story than pissing on pictures of a ghost man and him watching you sleep. Ghost watching you sleep is actually pretty common in the world of the paranormal. I mean, it's not common compared to how often does a squirrel drop his nuts, but in the world of paranormal, ghost watching you sleep, it's pretty normal paranormal activity. This is one of those things that you go... My first thing went to, this ghost has, you obviously, I was probably going to start off with this one. Maybe this ghost likes to be peed on. Maybe this ghost, because remember, he was having this groaning noise for about a week. He only remembers the one dream. Who knows what other disgusting sexual fetish this ghost was making this dude do. He's peeing all over these pictures. Maybe the ghost gets off on that. That would beg the question. Like, Jason, damn it, can't you just tell a normal ghost story? Does everything have to become some bizarre fetish? If you have a fetish, if you're like really into feet, and you die, does your ghost have a foot fetish? Is what I'm getting at. Would your ghost have a scat fetish? Don't look that up. If you don't know what it is, just leave it be. Does your ghost like water sports? If you have a thing about being peed on in life, And then you, at your job at the sewage factory, you're like, oh man, this place was really made for me. You're all break time, you're all swimming in the sewage. They're like, Johnson, get out of there. But you can't hear them. Because you're listening to your favorite rapper, Master P. You got your headphones in. And you end up drowning in raw sewage. He died doing what he loved. You can't have a better death than that. Now his ghost is floating around. Would that ghost still like to get peed on? It's funny because it sounds like this actually, to be honest, this is not where I planned on going with this segment. This just popped in my head. A fetish, we know how they develop. At early stages of development, of sexual development, someone can be exposed to a non-sexual item during a period of normal sexual arousal, and they develop a fetish. So when you're younger and your body is developing, and you are starting to feel all those feelings, and you don't really know what they are, and at the same time you happen to be at the mall with your mom, and she takes you to Payless Shoe Source to go shopping, and you see a beautiful woman walk in, to ask for directions for another shoe store. She's like, I'm not shopping here. You're surrounded by shoes. You see this beautiful woman. You start to get aroused. At the same time, you're surrounded by women putting on shoes. That's how things like foot fetishes develop. Your babysitter or your older sister. I know all my examples are male-oriented, but that obviously I'm coming from that background. First off, let me say I do not have a foot fetish. The opposite, for sure. I'm not into feet. But your older sister or your babysitter or whatever is goofing off and they're like, smell my feet, aren't they stinky? You can get a foot fetish. And when we look back on people who have these fetishes, these real out-the-box fetishes, they can go, I remember very clearly that there's that fetish of feeders, of men who like to feed women until they get like 800 pounds. I remember years ago reading an article about it when it was like, you know, when obviously when this first came to light, the feeder fetish, and almost all of the people interviewed could bring it back to an old Porky Pig cartoon or an old Looney Tune where they showed one of the characters being stuffed, was eating, force-fed all of this stuff and was getting big and rotund and walking around. They were having normal... Their body was going through a change where they were becoming sexually aware, but they don't understand what's going on. And then they see something and the signals get crossed. That's why most people don't have fetishes. Some people argue that boobs are a fetish because it's technically a non-sexual organ. Hair fetish, right? People have like women with particular hair, haircuts, stuff like that. People don't really consider those fetishes, but foot fetish, scat fetish, all of this stuff. Balloon fetish, people who like having sex with balloons, furries obviously are a big one. That's, at this point, I mean, at what point does it stop being a fetish and become a lifestyle? You can look back and you can go, yeah, I was young and my body was changing and I saw that Robin Hood cartoon on Disney. The Disney Robin Hood, Maid Marian smoking hot. And it causes these cross signal things, and that's where these come from. Most people can really nail down to where this started in their life. They could go, I never ever thought anything about it, and then I watched Zootopia. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm sexually attracted to rabbits now. This is weird. This is not where I planned on going with any of this. But this is an interesting question now. And I want to get to this last story. And I apologize to ask Auntie, this is not what I planned on talking about when I put you in the vehicle. If there was a furry who died, would their ghost continue to be a furry? And then it goes to this whole thing that would a ghost have any sexual desire at all? We do hear stories, they're very rare, about people having sex with ghosts, super rare. Considering how sexual a human being is in life, you figured they would be equally sexual in death. But that tends not to be the case. If you take all the ghost sightings, and then it's such a small subset of people who have sex with ghosts. such a small subset, even though most humans on the planet Earth enjoy sex or try to have sex or spend an inordinate amount of time meeting a partner to have sex with. We don't see that in the world of ghosts. So it'd be interesting. This poor guy, this phantom was like, oh, he's just trying to be a spooky phantom, and now everyone thinks I have a piss fetish. Oh, man. I'm coming to haunt you tonight, Jason. Maybe he doesn't have a piss fetish, right? I mean, I just thought that that might be the case, and we kind of spun off on this other thing. Would a fetish survive death? If you really, really loved feet, would your ghost show up and manifest by sucking on women's toes while they're sleeping? From what we know, the answer is no. The answer is no, that doesn't happen, because it's super rare that ghosts engage in any sexual activity or even are slightly bent that way. We do have like that ghost of the Stanley Hotel that pinches women. We do have ghosts like that. We have jealous female ghosts that attack women when they bring men to hotel rooms. There are all sorts of stories like that, like haunted hotels, things like that. But if you look at it, it's probably like 1% of all reported ghost activity has some sort of sexual component. So that must dissipate after death, which is interesting to think, because for some people, a furry, for example, it's not just a fetish, it's a lifestyle. They consider themselves like, this is part of who I am. So if they lost that after death, who are they? It's a super interesting question. Again, I didn't mean to go off on any of this stuff. Someone who has a foot fetish, I don't think they define themselves as someone who loves feet. If being honest, they probably hide it from most people. I doubt they go to a foot con. I doubt they go to a convention where it's just a bunch of... They go to a shoe sales convention. I don't think they consider themselves that that is their lifestyle. I am a footie. I love the feet. I'm a member of the Foot Clan. But someone who is a furry, that can be their lifestyle. That's where all their friends are furries. They go to furry conventions. They have furry lovers. All of this stuff. And it does help define them. You have the person who has no fetishes, the person who has a foot fetish, and the furry. They all die at the same time. It seems like the sex drive is kind of wiped away. So what does that mean? Are there furry ghosts? Are there ghosts of people walking around in fursuits or dying and becoming like a fox, a spectral fox? I don't know. It's probably something I need to start researching, because it's an interesting question. That wasn't where I planned on going with that story. I was just planning on talking about the abstract nature of it, peeing on paintings. Such a bizarre way for a phantom to appear, but I think we kind of stumbled across a different question. What happens with the sex drive after you die? Super bizarre, because it is a big part of humanity is to have sex. And even though you will have mean people die and be mean ghosts, and loving people die and be spiritual protectors, we see other traits follow, other personality traits follow people into the afterlife. Why not sex? Interesting question. I might have to expound on that. I'm doing another live presentation at the Oregon Ghost Conference, 12th Annual Oregon Ghost Conference in Seaside, Oregon. I might expound that here. That's a family event. There's a lot of kids there, so probably won't, but interesting question nonetheless, and it's not where I planned on going, but I'm surprised we haven't asked that yet over, 5 years of the show. Asconti, let's go ahead and toss you the keys to the world-famous Carboner Copter. We're leaving behind this ghost who may or may not have a fetish so intense it followed them into the afterlife. We're leaving that old bizarre story behind. Fly us all the way out to Australia, mate. The story took place years ago. That's about as close as we have as a date, I'm assuming. Around 10, 15 years ago would be my guess. We're about to take a look at the story of this young woman. We don't have any of these real names. We're going to call her Valerie. And on this particular day, Valerie had her cousin Brittany spend the night. Because the next day, Valerie's family and Brittany were going to drive on down to the coast, take a day trip. down to the coast and experience all the beauty that Australia has. This should be fun, right? Hanging out on the Australian coast. See a couple of jellyfish swimming on by, fly a kite, whatever. Whatever you do on the beach. Well, the night before they're supposed to leave, Valerie's deep asleep. She's sharing a bedroom with her cousin. They're both deep asleep. And all of a sudden, Valerie is awoken by the panicked screams of Brittany. Deep asleep, and then all of a sudden, she didn't sound like Edith Bunker. I guess that's the only scream I can do. That's an old reference. You're like, what? You're all Googling Edith Bunker. You're like, what? Is that a place? Is that a battle during World War II? She's screaming and wake you up. I can't imagine how terrifying that would be. I can't think of a time I've ever been awakened by the screams of somebody else. I mean, not like I've been woken up while I fall asleep watching a horror movie from time to time. I do fall asleep during horror movies, especially if they're boring. And then some jump scare happens and I'm like, oh, what? I see the nun too, walking down the hallway. It's like, oh, I forgot I was watching this. Go back to sleep. That's not Valerie's experience. She's dead asleep. She's awoken by the screaming of her cousin coming from the same room. I mean, just think how panicked you would be. And her cousin screams like Edith Bunker. Like the many good men who lost their lives defending that bunker in World War II. It's tragic and terrifying. Valerie wakes up and Valerie's trying to figure out exactly what's going on. Brittany's screaming at the top of her lungs. Brittany then jumps out of bed and runs out of the bedroom, still screaming. Valerie has no idea what's going on. Nightmare, you could probably assume, but it's too soon to tell. You have no idea. And then, somewhere else in the house, you hear your brother screaming. And then Valerie realizes that it's not just Brittany screaming, it's not just her brother screaming. Her mother is screaming as well. And before she can really put together theories, right? Like, I think your first theory, you'd be like, oh, Brittany must be having a nightmare, but it's happening so suddenly. But even if you did come to that conclusion, why is your brother and your mother screaming? You just don't know. It'd be so terrifying. You wouldn't know what was going on. So Valerie jumps out of bed and she goes into the hallway and she sees at one end of the hallway is her father standing there looking tired and puzzled. At the opposite end of the hallway, Valerie sees her mother, her brother, and Brittany all holding on to each other, sobbing and screaming. Looks back at her dad. Her dad's like shrugging his shoulders. He's like, your guess is as good as mine. And Valerie said after they all started to calm down, once Brittany and her brother and her mom started to like calm down and be able to actually talk, because they're so terrified over something. What they realize, once everyone's calmed down and they're able to explain to Valerie and the father of what happened, because they're just completely panicked. They can't even get a word out. Valerie says all three of them at the exact same time were having the same dream. She said they dreamt, the brother, the mother, and Brittany, they dreamt that everyone was loaded into the car and they were driving to the coast. It's a beautiful day. Perfect day to go see the ocean. Dad's driving the car along the winding roads, high above the coastline. When he loses control of the vehicle and drives right off of a cliff. Valerie says, obviously we canceled the day trip the next day. We decided probably shouldn't do that thing that three people had the nightmare about somehow. Let's not do that thing, right? I'm sure we can figure out stuff to do at home. Break out the Parcheesi game, a rousing round of Old Maid, whatever the case may be. They're not going on the day trip the next day. This was posted online by someone going by the name ESPN Weather Girl. And it's funny, I planned to do these two stories, but I forgot they both involve dreams. I'm going to repeat what I said earlier briefly. If this story is true, there's no rational explanation for it. If this story is true in the sense that Valerie's not lying to us and all three people in the house had the same dream about the same trip that was going to take place tomorrow, that cannot be rationalized. People cannot share a dream like that with different stimuli. I mean, they could all be thinking about going to the beach tomorrow, but all three of them barreling off the cliff. You could say, well, maybe one of them started screaming, and then the other two people were deep asleep. They were dreaming about a perfectly fine trip to the beach, when all of a sudden, the screaming sent them into a nightmare spiral. And that's possible, right? That's possible. But the thing I find the story absolutely terrifying. I've always wondered this. I shouldn't say I've always wondered this, but like, since I was probably 12 or something like that, maybe a little bit older, I've always wondered, do people know the day they die? And I don't mean like I know that I'm going to die at the age of 88 on March 7th. What would that be? That would be almost 40 years, 41 years from now. That would be crazy to think that far ahead. But yeah, on March 3rd, 41 years from now, what would that, 2064, that's the day I'll die. I don't mean like that. I don't mean it that far in advance. I wonder if when you wake up the morning, the day you die, do you have an inkling? Unless you literally woke up and said, I'm going to die today, and then died later that day, we wouldn't know. And I don't think most people would do that. I know there was, I'll put it in the show notes, there is this story, this heartbreaking story. This is, you know, not, you didn't know the day, but there was a young woman who was eating, I think it was a ton of black licorice. She was either eating black licorice or chewing black licorice gum. And black licorice is one of those things that's super common. It's disgusting. It's flat out gross. I have a hard time trusting people who eat black licorice for fun. And I know a lot of people who do. They're trust issues, I guess. My mom loves black licorice. It's disgusting. It tastes like medicine. It's so gross. It's worse than cotton candy. At least cotton candy tastes good. It's just disgusting everything else about it. It's an edible web. Black licorice is disgusting, and apparently it's one of those things that's super common, but it can kill you. If you have too much Diet Pepsi, unless you're drowning in it, it's not going to kill you. If you have too much soup, if you have too much delicious spicy chicken quesadilla soup from Campbell's, that's what I'm having for dinner tonight. I love that. It's my favorite soup. I'll die of, you know, die of coronary disease, right? If I eat too much of it, I'll balloon up to 500 pounds. Again, that would require 10 cans a day for quite a while. Who knows, guys? We might be able to make it. Black licorice can kill you. Black licorice can actually disrupt the electrical signals going to your heart. This is a known thing. I didn't know about it. But famously, I think a year or two ago, it was in the headlines because a man ate nothing but black licorice. He ate it all day long at work, and then his heart just gave out. And it was interesting to read the article. You had like doctors go, oh no, that will kill you. This is a known thing. Too much black licorice can kill you. As black licorice stocks plummet. I think that's what the case was. There was this young girl. I think it was too much. It was something unique that killed her. You know, sometimes people die because they put on too much deodorant. They cover every inch of their body with deodorant. You suffocate. There's normal things that can kill you. I'll see if I can. I'll really try to find the article. But she was a totally fine, healthy 15, 16 year old girl. And she got home from school and she went upstairs and her mom was downstairs. And she hears her daughter yell out, what does dying feel like? And then she died. So that's a much closer thing, right? I mean, like, obviously she was in the process of dying, but she must have realized something was going wrong with her body. But she asked that question, what does dying feel like? Because her, and you know, like if your heart's stopping, right? If it's not like a straight up heart attack, but your body's just literally shutting down one afternoon. But again, I thought it was a curious question. Such a tragic story. I thought it was a curious question. Something we don't know as people. Like, I can say these are the symptoms of a heart attack. These are the symptoms of a drug overdose. But if someone asks, what does dying feel like? Who knows? You know, because you can either have survived death, and you could kind of give an idea. I remember once there was that soldier who'd gotten shot, and he goes, what I felt. Because, you know, obviously, in this case, we can have people who don't die and you know, they're, like, medically dead, and then they come back. That's where we get near-death experiences from. This guy said I had gotten shot, and they were working on me. This is in Iraq a couple of years ago. They were working on me, and then all of a sudden, I just felt this sucking sensation. And I was dead. Like, he felt everything just kind of leave him. And he died. I mean, that's creepy, right? That would be a super creepy sensation. The next thing he knows, he's alive in a hospital. Like, they had to evacuate him and all that stuff. Serious, substantial injuries. Can you... I mean, those are obviously, like, very unique, strong sensations. But my question is, for the girl and for the GI who, you know, fortunately he's still alive, unfortunately the girl passed, and everyone else who passes... When they wake up in the morning, do they have even the most passing thought that today will be the last day I live on the planet Earth? Do they think that? Do they have a dream the night before? Maybe they have a dream and they don't remember it. Maybe they have a dream and they don't make the connections. Obviously, if you're fighting in war, you're probably having some nightmares. You're like, oh man, hey, Captain, I don't feel like doing this deployment today. Last night I had a dream that I got shot in the head. And the captain's like, me too. Everybody does. That's part of war. You got to go out there, son. Or not. Because it's super interesting because we have these three people have these nightmares. And we'll wrap it up like this. I know these episodes are going long. I'm trying to figure out a way. I'm having a lot of fun doing it. I just wish they weren't so long. But let's wrap it up like this. There's a couple different ways this story could have ended out. We have five people. Three of them had a dream that they were going over a cliff. And to their doom, to their deaths, it wasn't like he regained control halfway down the mountain. What if one of them had that dream? If it was the brother, he has this horrible nightmare that they're going to go off the cliff. Or if it was Brittany, had this horrible nightmare, they drove off the cliff. Just them. They woke up screaming. Most likely the parents would say, oh, it's just a nightmare. And they would have gotten in the car. The next day drove to the coast and presumably lost control and went off the cliff. Because that's what this dream would mean. It seemed because of the three people. That's what makes the story so much more paranormal. You have three people having the same dream already, not possible, and then you have it seeing the future. It's such a specific image. It's a omen of death and disaster. If one of the two kids had it, probably still would have went on the trip. Car would have lost control, gone off the cliff. It would have been a tragedy. Probably would have been in the newspapers. Family members would have mourned their deaths. No one outside of that family of five would have ever known about the dream. It's not like you're going to call up a relative, hey, guess what, we're going on a day trip, but before we do that, you want to hear the funniest story? My son had a nightmare last night. The car would have just gone off the cliff, everyone would have died, no one would have ever known that somebody in that car had a dream warning them not to go. I think if the mother had the dream, I think she, as an adult, would say, I don't want to go. I don't think any of us should go. If the kid has a nightmare, you can just be like, well, listen, you're a kid. Kids dream nightmares. The mom could have stopped it. But then I think, what if It was just a single dad and his daughter, Valerie. They didn't have the dream. They were confused by the whole thing. Father and daughter, day at the beach. Hop in the car, honey. Let's have fun. Car goes off a cliff. Single father and his daughter die on the way to the coastline. Probably show up in a couple newspapers. Nobody would have even thought, huh? I wonder if only he had never left his wife and they didn't have joint custody of the kids and it was his weekend with the girl. Maybe then they could have been warned through dream because that sounds insane, right? You had the right factors here. You had the family, you had multiple people who had the nightmare, you had the right people who had the nightmare, and they chose not to go. And had they gone, and that car went off the cliff, nobody would have known of the paranormal warning this family received. And while I'm, in a way, against following, I'm always torn between this, because since I had lifelong anxiety attacks, I'm constantly having to fight my gut to say, get off the airplane. I never want to take an airplane ride. It's not that I'm scared of planes. It's when I'm on the plane, I'm like, this is it. This is the plane that crashes. This is the plane that goes down. This is the plane that blows up. I mean, okay, nowadays, if you're flying on a Boeing-built airplane, those things might be true, but my gut instinct always says, get off the plane. My gut instinct always says, cancel the trip. All the time. I didn't want to go to the Oregon Ghost Conference last year. I kept thinking this is going to be when the tsunami hits. We're going to go out there. The tsunami is going to hit. So I have to not follow my gut a lot of times because my anxiety lies to me. But I've studied myself for, 47 years. I know how my mind works. And there have been times where I've missed really cool opportunities because I wasn't listening to not listening to my gut, right? I was kind of doing what my gut was telling me to do and I was missing out on these cool opportunities. While other times when I'm on the plane and it's getting ready to taxi, I'm like, this is your last chance, Jason. You got to get up. You got to tell them you can't go on this flight. This is the flight. And I do the flight anyways and I've never died in a plane crash. And I went to the Oregon Ghost Conference and I wasn't killed in a tsunami. So I have to fight. My gut instinct is always wrong. And that, actually, now that I think about it, that might be a reason why I'm so fascinated by the idea of, do we know the day we die that we're going to die? Because I am always in a state that today is the day I'm going to die. That's kind of how, and I mean, it works good, right? When you want to get stuff done or when you just want a day to relax, you realize, like, today, I hold that to be true. Today might be the day you die, so, actually, now that I think about it, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm not working today. I'm going to play more Minecraft because I might die today. But I've constantly had that thing in my head. And I wonder if other people, when they do die, the day they die, if they know it's coming. I wonder if they have dreams like this. I wonder if things happen and they blow it off. Because if it was just you, maybe, I mean, I've had nightmares about horrible stuff. Right? I had a nightmare the other day. There were a bunch of zombies at Walmart. I still went to Walmart. Right, I had to go buy sodas. I went to Walmart. I avoided. I didn't let the dream tell me what to do. But I don't know. It's very interesting to me. I mean, obviously, I'm not dead. I wonder if you know, and I wonder if, and not even if you can prevent it, but just if you know. I'm not even saying so much that to prevent it. I wonder if when you wake up the day you die, if you know. In your heart of hearts, this is my last day on earth. We're talking about super extreme examples here with, having this dream. All three people having the same dream. I mean, that would trip you out. That 100% would cancel that trip. But just the less extreme example of that, just waking up and going, I don't know if you'd wake up and go, this is the day I'm going to die, or if it's almost like a situation with that young girl where you're thinking, is this what she thought? Is this what dying feels like? I wonder if people wake up and in the back of their mind, they're thinking, is this what the last day on earth feels like? Is this what it feels like to wake up for the very last time? I don't know. I don't know. I find it fascinating. I wonder if that's the case. We won't know. Even if we heard a couple anecdotal stories, we could go, well, you know. Interesting. Interesting and terrifying in many, many ways. I mean, death is something that is inevitable. I know most people don't like to think about it. It's not like I love to think about it, but I do think about it. The funny thing is, like, death is so tied in to the paranormal, but there is nothing paranormal about death. It's probably the most normal thing a person can do. It's just kind of built into the system that we live in. Fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. You're sitting there, you're all, you're all freaking out. This is terrifying, man. This is so terrifying. I never thought about that before. Is this the last time I'm ever going to freak out listening to a podcast? Hopefully not. Hopefully you're back for many more episodes. DeadRabbitRadio at gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. TikTok is at DeadRabbitRadio. DeadRabbitRadio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm so glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.